Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Friday, November the 2nd. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you have a great day. The weekend is almost here, and we got a fun show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com to talk about the Adam Gase press conference that took place on Thursday and all the headlines that made. Usually with our Friday show, we preview the upcoming opponent, the Jets game, but we already played the Jets once. We know who the Jets are. There's really not much more to talk about. And the headlines that came from this press conference on Thursday, where Adam Gase met with the media, we have to dive into this and talk about that, because it became, you know, somewhat newsworthy what Adam Gase said. You know, on social media, in newspapers, on sports talk radio, blogs, whatever, for years. And it's 7 years, folks. It's for years. There's been the debate about Ryan Tannehill. And Thursday, when Adam Gase met with the media, that debate played out right before our very eyes. Not something you hear in a podcast. Not something you hear on a radio show. Not something you're reading in a newspaper. It played out before our very eyes, that debate, when Adam Gase sort of went after the media and called them out for not knowing what they're talking about, in his words. And, you know, it started to praise Ryan Tannehill to a level that I think, you know, even the diehard Tannehill supporters even go, whoa, Adam, you know, stop the bromance here. But no, Adam Gase went all in. And after that, you know, everyone ran to social media. Everyone took sides, either on Team Armando or Team Adam. And, you know, Armando doesn't know what he's talking about. Adam Gase doesn't know what he's talking about. Everyone took sides. And people got ugly on social media, really ugly. They started to attack others. And, I mean, I got a bunch of vicious attacks. I was out there just tweeting my opinion. And, you know, I had one clown, you know, he started attacking me. Answer my questions. Like, who the hell are you? I don't answer to you. Answer my questions. It's like, oh, my God. People got ugly, started calling names, and it was brutal. But, you know, that's social media for you. I don't pay a lot of attention to people on there. And a lot of people really are. There are some sicko fans out there on social media. I had one guy attacking me. You know, he took his engagement photos wearing a Ryan Tannehill jersey, and then gets mad when you question him on his credibility about Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you cannot make that up, folks. You cannot make that up. So people went overboard, started acting like fools, but that's social media for you. But this thing here with Adam Gase, and I'll get into more of this when I get Tom on the line, but essentially, Adam Gase, in my eyes, went overboard. No one's expecting him to throw his player under the bus. No one's expecting him to badmouth Ryan Tannehill, and no one wants it. I mean, Tannehill, as I've said in this podcast, and I say almost every day now, and I've been saying it for weeks, is a good person, good husband, good father, good teammate. He checks all the boxes. But, you know, it has been 7 years here, and the results aren't there. And he's not really performing where you want a starting quarterback to perform. And, you know, there's a segment of the fan base, I get it, who's going to make a million excuses: offensive line, wide receiver, too many injuries, bad play, whatever. That's fine. You're never going to change your mind. I've stopped trying a long time ago. But that doesn't change the fact. Excuse me. That doesn't change the fact that, you know, Ryan Tannehill is not a very good NFL starting quarterback right now. He has a job in this league for sure. But, I mean, some of the stuff Gase said, and we'll get into it. I mean, he said, here's one quote from Gase: when you have an athletic guy that can move around as much as he can, and then his arm strength is something I've never been around before, where we hit like where we hit the pass like he did against Tennessee, where he throws a 50-plus yards in the air, and the guy never breaks his stride. He has some rare qualities that I take. He has some rare qualities that you can't find in a lot of guys physically. That's the line right there. That really is head scratching. And the more he keeps playing, the more he keeps learning game to game. Man's been in the league for 7 years, a starter since 2012. He's still learning. Kind of makes you a little. Yes, you're always going to learn some things, but that whole quote comes off bad. And that's something to me that puts him in a position where is our ceiling at? I don't think we're close to it. Now, if he doesn't think Ryan Tannehill has hit his ceiling, as some people sent me on social media some funny lines, he must have 12-foot ceilings. He must have vaulted ceilings, which is funny stuff. That's where social media is good, when you get funny lines like that. One of the lines was sent to me by Brian Miller of FinFanatic.com. I want to give him credit. I mean, how high are these ceilings? It's like, if he has hit the ceiling after 7 years, I don't know. What else? He goes, I just keep thinking he keeps getting better. He keeps finding ways to maximize his skill set. Talk about a bromance and going overboard. Some of this stuff, like I said, either Adam Gase either isn't as smart as we think, if he actually believes some of the stuff he's spewing, or, you know, he thinks we're all fools and we're all falling for this propaganda. That's what it is, propaganda. He hears more from Gase. Is he going to run his own read? Is he going to sprint out? Is he going to run a naked? Is he going to go play action? Is he dropping back? Are we running the ball? There's a lot of things you have to defend. Now, once again, Adam Gase makes it sound like Ryan Tannehill is the only quarterback in the league that can do this stuff. I'm sorry. There's a lot of strong-arm quarterbacks with mobility. You look around the league at all the strong-arm quarterbacks with mobility, that doesn't make Ryan Tannehill some unicorn that, you know, some rare guy, guy who that is, like, tough to replace. I'm just sorry it doesn't. And, I mean, then he really went after Armando. Let me get to the one quote. You are asking questions. You don't even know what you're talking about. It's hard for me to defend anything when you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you don't. I watch the film. We evaluate the scheme. We're asking him to do. I mean, this is where Gase. I mean, look. I don't know how to fly a plane, but I know if a pilot crashes his plane in the ocean, he's probably a bad pilot. Okay? I don't need to watch 10,000 hours worth of tape, and I don't need to be an assistant NFL coach for 8 years, then become an NFL head coach, to know when a player is playing well or not, or to know when a player is maybe regressing and not progressing. I don't need years of experience. So when Adam Gase starts to belittle the reporters and saying, you don't know what you're talking about, oh, I watch all this tape, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just comes out and makes Adam Gase look bad. And this whole thing could have been avoided if Adam Gase, you know, had a little, let's just call it media savvy, to avoid falling into this trap. And it's not even a trap. He's being asked fair questions from the South Florida media. But, you know, he starts going off on tangents and going off on these rants. And, you know, everything he says is on the record here. And if Ryan Tannehill, who knows when he'll play again this year, if he'll play again this year. I've been saying I don't think he's going to play again this year. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe he will play again. I want to see the Miami Dolphins win games. And hopefully Brock Osweiler can keep the team afloat. And the Miami Dolphins can stop a few teams on defense to win a few games here until he gets healthy. And he gives Miami the best chance to win. But, you know, it's not looking promising. But you know, some of this stuff, I mean, these words are going to be thrown back in his face. And the quote of all quotes that really made Adam Gase look bad, that made him really look bad, when he told Armando after a question, that's fine. That's how you look at things. Everything is results to you. Well, Adam, you're in the NFL, and it's a results-oriented business. You either win or you lose. You play well or you play bad. The results matter. The results matter. And for you to say everything is results to you, to a reporter, all I'm going to say is there's going to be a day, whether it's in Miami or somewhere else, where you will, because as an NFL head coach or any NFL coach, at some point you get fired. It just happens. It's part of the job. When you get fired, I want you to look that owner in the eye, and if you say, why are you firing me? He's going to say, results. You didn't produce the results. So yeah, everything is results to everyone. And if it's not results to you, then it should be. And maybe you're in the wrong line of work. because to say that line to Armando Salguero, everything is results to you, really makes you look like a horse's ass. It really makes you look like a horse's ass. Of course it's about results. You got to win the games, Adam. That's why you're getting paid millions of dollars. Win the games. So it is about results. And Ryan Tannehill's performance is about results if he's not playing well. And, you know, like I said, guys like Joe Shad, Armando Salguero, they asked fair questions on Thursday. Very fair questions. And Adam Gase, not quite sure what he was responding to. But it did set off a firestorm. Dolphins fan base is wide awake. After last Thursday's horrible loss, you know, the fan base has been kind of quiet. Social media has been kind of quiet among Miami Dolphins fans. But with this one today, they woke up and it got ugly. It got ugly among some fan bases who were among some fans who went off the deep end and started attacking people. It's like, you can defend somebody, but man, some people went off the deep end and it got ugly. But what I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, I'll be joined by Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. As we'll talk more about this Adam Gase press conference. We'll get Tom's thoughts on it, some of his thoughts on what was said, and talk more about, you know, the future of Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill in Miami here, because, look, they're a package deal at this point, and I think they're each going to stay or each going to go. Who knows? But we'll get some more thoughts here from Tom Ernesty, so sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So let's talk about this Adam Gase press conference today. And the little he got a little heated, well, on Thursday, because this podcast was going to drop Friday morning. Let's talk about what Adam Gase said here on Thursday. I'm sure if you're listening to a show like this, you know what happened. You know what was said. We don't have to explain it to you. What's your overall initial thoughts on what Adam Gase said? And then I'll tell you what I think, because if you're listening to this, you probably saw my interactions on Twitter on Thursday, and you probably already know what I think. But let's start off. What did you think of what Adam Gase said there on Thursday?
He's saying what any head coach would say about one of his players that he fully believes in. That is pretty much where Adam Gase went with it. You know, Armando Salguero, who has been on our show and a highly respected South Florida media guy, especially regarding the Miami Dolphins, asked a simple question regarding Ryan Tannehill and what his thoughts are. And Adam Gase went off on a tangent about, I know, you don't know, I watch film, you don't watch film. And pretty much the press conference with Antoine Staley saying today on Twitter that it was a very awkward press conference because of the interaction between Armando and Adam Gase. It just to me seems that, you know, Adam Gase continues to hedge his coaching career in Miami on Ryan Tannehill, and we see the results right now. All right, so when we look at 2016, we all know that's the measuring stick for Ryan Tannehill with Adam Gase, because he didn't play last year, and Tannehill, for his part, played very well for Adam Gase in 2016. Jump ahead to 2018, he's 3-2 with Gase. His last two starts, he was abysmal. Whether he was hurt or not, he was abysmal. The offense has been abysmal under Adam Gase since his time here. Nothing has changed. The quarterback change for 2018 goes back to Ryan Tannehill, the first three games. Fairly exciting. The Tennessee game, the Jets game, and the Raiders game. Fairly exciting games, big plays, things like that. You go to New England, you go to Cincinnati, you get smacked. No offensive production whatsoever. And here we are with, again, no knowledge from Adam Gase regarding Ryan Tannehill's injury. They really are keeping this internal. But personally, after reading Ethan at Five Reasons Sports, what they've received is Tannehill is not allowed to throw past 7 yards, and he doesn't have velocity on his throws. Folks, that's a torn labrum.
Yeah, it is.
Period, end of story. For personal experience, I tore my labrum playing baseball. I could not throw a baseball anywhere close to what I used to before the injury happened, and I lost about 15 miles an hour on my fastball when I was pitching from a torn labrum. So let's just call it what it is, folks. I think it's a torn labrum. I don't think it's a sprain. That's just my opinion. Just based on everything I've been reading, my opinion, torn labrum. Just come out and say what the injury is. If Ryan Tannehill can't throw past 7 yards and has no velocity on his throws, his season is done. There's no magic pill that's going to put him back on the field.
Nope, not at all. And there's a few things here. First here, what you said about Adam Gase defending his player's quarterback. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is he handled this totally wrong. And he's been in front of the media now as a head coach for 3 years, and he should know better than this. You get asked a question like this. Nobody's expecting you to throw your quarterback under the bus or throw a player on your team under the bus. But you can tap dance around the question. He could have said, you know what? He's still hurt. I hope he comes back. We'll see what happens when he comes back, and we'll take it from there. So you just answer the question without really saying anything of significance. He can say, you know what, he's not going to play this week against the Jets. We all know that. When he's healthy, I will answer all the Ryan Tannehill questions you want. We'll talk about him then. This week we're playing the Jets. He's not playing, so I really don't feel like talking about it. Once again, you've answered the question without saying nothing. He goes off on a tangent, and he starts saying stuff that, again, I mean, you can be – this is why I hate this. Because half the fan base, you either must love Ryan Tannehill or you must hate him. You just can't be in the middle. And I find myself – I'm in the middle. I think he's an okay quarterback. I don't think he's very good right now. He's been in the league for 7 years, and we've seen some progress over time. But, you know, he's sort of – I think he's hit his peak. Some people might think he can get a little bit better. That's fine. Reasonable people can disagree. The issue is, though, when you say, you know – Adam Gase started talking about him like he's a first or second year player. He's been in the league, folks, for 7 years. He's saying he hasn't hit his ceiling yet. We're still seeing progress. That's stuff you say about a rookie or a second year guy, not a 7 year veteran who has started since day one. Okay, since 2012. Starts since day one. That's number one. Number two, where he really went off the rails, is he starts talking about how, you know, Ryan Tannehill has these rare traits that you can't find in another player. Give me a break. Again, I mean, you don't need to be George Halas. You don't need to be Bill Walsh. You don't need to, you know, spend thousands of hours breaking down tape at a facility. You don't need to be an assistant coach for 100 years to know Ryan Tannehill is not a special quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's an okay quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback. Nobody's knocking him. He deserves to play in the league. He deserves to have a spot, maybe as a number one, maybe he's number two. That can be debated all day long. But to say if he's a special talent with rare traits and all this nonsense, then what the hell's Aaron Rodgers? What the hell's what the hell's Tom Brady? What the hell's Wentz and Newton? The real greats out there today. What are they? Because you can't have he's not, okay? He's just not that level of player. And when he tries to pass that stuff off, that's where he loses credibility. This is all stuff he did not have to say today. And then the dumbest thing he says, and I'm sorry it's dumb. When he tells Armando Salguero that, hold on, I'm going to find the exact quote. That's fine, he said. That's how you look at things. Everything is results everything is results to you. You know what? You know what, Adam? Yeah, because this is a business where results matter. You might not think so, but results matter. Because you are judged on wins. You are judged on losses. You are judged on touchdowns versus interceptions. Yards, complete, it's all results. The entire sport is based on results. So he can say everything's results to you. You know what? Someday, maybe it's in Miami, maybe it's somewhere else, who knows, you will be let go from a job. And in the NFL, odds are you will be let go at some point. I'm not saying it's going to be now or next year. At some point, when the owner lets you go, why do you think he's going to let you go? Because the results weren't good enough. So for him to sit there with a straight face and tell a reporter, everything is results to you. Well, yeah, it is. It is results. This is the NFL. You got to win. You got to produce. And I'm sorry to even the most, the most steadfast Tannehill supporters. He's just not producing, okay? He's not producing, and he's not producing enough. Let's just say it that way. He played a few good games at the start of the year. Nobody's saying otherwise. The game against the Titans was by far his best game all year. By far. Not even close. Then week two against the Jets, he was good. I mean, not great, not bad. He was good. The Raiders game, you know, the stats look great. But let's be honest. Wilson threw a touchdown pass, and he threw two little shovel passes where the wide receiver did all the work. I'm not going to knock him for it. He did what he was told. He did the job. It was executed, right? But let's not go crazy here thinking he was, like a normal Tom Brady 400-yard day, because it wasn't. He threw a couple shovel passes at the end of the day. You know, he was okay. The Patriots and Cincinnati, you know, the two really good teams he played this year, he stuck the place up. And, yes, there was injuries. It happens. He's not the only quarterback to have people around him get hurt. So that's not an excuse. But what I heard today from Gase, it's frustrating because as a fan of a team, I understand if the team loses because they don't have enough quality players. You can live with that. The team's just not good enough. But the one thing you want to have hope in is that the front office and your head coach, you know, have a vision and understand. And I said he openly lied today because I think he did. But again, I didn't expect him to throw the quarterback under the bus, but he handled the situation wrong. He didn't have to say 90% of the things he said. He could have just, tap dance around these questions. Don't say it, because what he said makes him look foolish, and these words are going to be thrown back in his face, whether it's in the second week of January after week 17 or in a year from now or whatever. Everything he said today will be thrown back in his face, and it's not going to end well for him. And, I don't – in any other sports market, a Philadelphia, New York, a Boston, a Pittsburgh – you know, where there's like crazy sports fans. Miami doesn't really have crazy sports fans. In a crazy sports market where you have, you know, three or four sports radio stations with crazy hosts and crazy fans, rabid fans, you know, this crap wouldn't fly. Okay? It wouldn't fly. And in Miami, it's a little bit different of an environment. So he can get away with saying this stuff. But honestly, some of this stuff is laughable at the end of the day. And it's not a knock on Ryan Tannehill. As I always say, Tannehill is a great guy. He's given everything to Miami Dolphins, including his body at this point. Nobody's knocking him. But, you know, let's not, you know, call it like it is. We have to call it like it is. And if the head coach is going to say some of this stuff, you got to call him on it, because some of this stuff is just nonsense. He doesn't have rare traits. He's rare traits because he's mobile. There's a lot of mobile quarterbacks. That doesn't make him rare. He's got a strong arm. There's a lot of quarterbacks with a strong arm. Doesn't make him rare. I mean, to me, that's where this went off the rails. Armando Salguero asked a fair question. He said in his article in the Miami Herald, if I didn't have as much respect for the Miami Dolphins organization, he probably would have kept firing back. But we've been in those rooms now, Tom, you and me, and we know you got to be respectful on some level. You can't just unload. But, you know, I mean, some of that stuff was nonsense. Even the most diehard Tannehill supporters, which I know some aren't, but even the most have to admit, this is a bit much, even from the head coach.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in, you know, the way that he continues to defend him. And listen, at the end of the day, if Ryan Tannehill is under center of the team, I will support. I am going to support whoever is on this football team, start to finish. I may have criticisms about it. I may have bad feelings about it. And, you know, I have been one that has been on Twitter almost every week, for the most part, over the last 6 weeks, asking what the hell is Adam Gase calling as a play caller. So, but as fans and as media, we are allowed to question things. Whether we sit down and study 45, 50, 60 hours of film a week, our eyes can still tell us what we're seeing on the field. It is a results-driven league, and if you're not getting the results, you have to find someone that will. Whether that's the head coach, whether that's the defensive coordinator, hashtag fire Matt Burke, or whether it's Ryan Tannehill, you need results. You need to find results. I understand it's a team game. I understand that when things aren't going the way they should, things can fall apart for a quarterback. Things can fall apart for a middle linebacker. Things can fall apart for a safety, so on and so forth. We can find everything broken down in a play that causes something to happen. But at the end of the day, if your team is averaging less than 20 points a game, you are not good, period. And that starts with the head coach, and that starts with the quarterback. So one thing is what I took away from this press conference, Adam Gase still believes in Ryan Tannehill, and he will fight tooth and nail to continue to have Tannehill. And the way that his contract is structured, it's hard to get rid of him when you don't. You only have roughly $25 million in cap space for next season, right now, before any moves. Tannehill is a $13.2 million cap hit. $26.4 million cap hit. 13.2 is dead money. 13.2 is cap savings. You get nothing for cutting him. You wait till June 1st. You get a little bit more money, but you still have to carry the dead cash. We're going to carry dead cash for Ndamukong Suh until 2027 at this rate. But you, honestly, at this point, I'm just facing the reality that Tannehill will be on this roster come springtime.
Yeah, that's where we disagree.
Heaven help me if they do not go out and get a quarterback for this team. Because I am sick of a Brock Osweiler, a David Fales sitting behind Ryan Tannehill. Go out and find another quarterback. Provide real competition for the spring and for the summer. Because after June 1st, during minicamp and training camp, if you bring in another quarterback that outplays Ryan Tannehill, then you can trade him or you can cut him. But I personally feel that he will be here for the spring and summer, and if they bring in another quarterback and he beats out Ryan Tannehill, then you move on. Because you get more cap relief. It's after June 1st. I don't know if they would do a post-June 1st cut and not receive the money until June 1st. That handicapped them this past year. We can't have it again. My opinion on that. But
well, yeah.
The logistics of the money is where it really
But I out. Think there's more to it than the money. Yes, the that is a big factor. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. But they made this bet, which is why, you know, if this year ends badly, which I think it will. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I think it will end badly. And by end badly, I mean like 6-10 type year, 7-9. That, to me, is ending badly, especially when you start 3-0. If this ends badly, heads are going to roll because just because of the salary cap situation. But you can't bring back Tannehill because, to me, it's a toxic situation. A lot depends on what's going to happen with the head coach, if he stays or goes. If he stays, you almost can't bring back Tannehill because, you know, he's so damn headstrong. He's going to play him no matter who else is there. And you can't have that at this point. There needs to be some flexibility. And as we know with Adam Gase, the one thing he's not is flexible in the least. Which in some ways is good, but in some ways is bad. This is one of the ways where it's bad. That's number one. Number two, I let him go because, there does come a point where he's got a bad knee. Now he's got this bad shoulder, and he's making all this money. I would cut him in March, and you can still say he's a post-June 1st cut. If you got what we did this year with Sue, because he would do his bonus, I think, on March 8th. So they can still do that and have the money come in June, just like it did this year with Sue. I'm not worried about the salary cap right now. Priority number one for this team. Is get out from Tannehill at the end of this year and move forward with a new quarterback. Whether you want to invest a high pick this year in the draft or if you want to be one of those folks where the 2019 quarterback class stinks, which I guess means every quarterback here is going to be awful, and you want to go out and sign a one-year deal with, you know, well, or sign someone
Teddy
for
Bridgewater.
Like, yeah, somebody like him, not him per se, but somebody like him, and then wait till 2020, which to me is even – makes no sense, but whatever. Fine. But the one thing you can't keep bringing this guy back because it's – look, he stood up there today, Gase, and he took shots at the media. What do those guys know? He went after Joe Shadsom. He asked a question. He goes, well, what are those people's – he goes, they don't know what they're talking about. And then Shad, as a professional, let me rephrase the question for you. And he rephrased it. You can't just – look, O.J. McDuffie, Keith Byers. These are former players in the league. Very good players, too. Not just guys. Very good players. They have come out this year and said, it's just not there with Tannehill. When everyone sees the same thing, except for one guy, it makes you question the one guy at this point. And that's where I'm sort of at with this. I've said it 100 times on this podcast, and I do a show every goddamn day. So you can listen to the archives. I like Adam Gase. I really do. I think he is a bright guy. I know someday he's going to have big success in the NFL. I hope it's with Miami. But when he does stuff like he does today, it makes it tough to have faith in him sometimes. And, again, everything that happened today did not have to happen. The one thing I take away from today is the Miami Dolphins have to give Adam Gase some media training. Just because someone asks you a question does not mean you have to answer it. You can tap dance around it. You can tiptoe around it. You can deflect. It's like a debate when they ask someone, what's your stance on this policy? And they talk for 10 minutes about something totally unrelated. That's what an NFL head coach does. Adam Gase in 3 years really hasn't picked up on that. And, look, he's going to go down with Ryan Tannehill. I just have a feeling he wants to sink with the ship. And like I said, you don't need to be a Hall of Fame head coach to realize the progression with Tannehill has sort of not really continued. You know, I got people online telling me, oh, in his last 13 games with Adam Gase, he's 10-3. Who the hell? That's over a span of 3 years. Who the hell cares? You're going back to 2016 to get the bulk of those wins. Who cares? That's a meaningless stat. You cherry pick away the first five games of 1 year. It's like an arbitrary time frame that means nothing. It's just head scratching. I had people tell me today online, I'm not going to mention names. You know, I chart every throw he makes and he's good. If you're charting every throw he makes, number one, you got too much time on your hands. Number two, your chart's wrong. And number three, if that chart after you chart every throw he makes is telling you Tannehill's is somebody who's got rare talent, special traits, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about, period. Because there's no opponent that really fears Ryan Tannehill. He's a good player. Nobody's saying otherwise. He's a good player. But this notion that he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback who's dropping like a stone at this point. Next year, if it's not for the Dolphins, there are a few teams that would have him be the number one quarterback. Few teams. At most, he's a solid number two at this point with all the injuries he's got and his production of late. You can throw all the nonsense stats at me, 10-3 in last 13 start. Nobody cares about that stuff, folks. Nobody cares. If you brought that up to a real NFL person, not talking about someone tied with the Dolphins, because they obviously have a vested interest, they can only say so much. You brought that up to a real NFL, they would laugh in your face, okay? They would laugh you out of the room. Like, who cares? That's going back to 2016. Who gives a crap? That means nothing. And it's like, Tannehill, we hope he gets healthy because he gives Miami the best chance to win. That's one other narrative. Brock Osweiler, nobody's saying Brock Osweiler is better. All I've said from the start, like many people said, the drop-off between the two really ain't that big. And Osweiler's played okay for three games. But, yes, a healthy Tannehill does do more. He can run for plays. It's just this today for Gase really did himself no favors, and he came off poorly, very poorly. He needs media training. That's what I get from this.
Well, if I can say one last thing about this, if there's any film Adam Gase can watch about press conferences and he doesn't want to answer a question, I think there's probably about 60 hours of Bill Belichick press conferences where when he gets a question and he doesn't want to answer it, what does he say? Next question.
Yeah, next question. Gives the guy a look. He just gives the guy a look. He goes, next. I mean, that's it. You don't have to say some of this stuff. A lot of it just really put him in a bad light, I think. I mean, if you're taking him seriously, you can't. I don't know. I could rant forever on this, but let's not do that. That's where we're at. What do you think about, in closing here, what do you think about this week's game against the Jets? Why don't you give me your early thoughts? I know you'll do the pregame show Sunday morning, but why don't you give us some early thoughts here on the Jets game?
It's going to be boring. It's going to have no quarterback play whatsoever. Brock Osweiler versus Sam Darnold. In all accounts, Sam Darnold, he's a rookie. He's still going through his rookie season. He's taking his lumps. We know we have a Brock Osweiler, one, two interceptions at least, maybe one or two touchdowns. It's going to be an up-and-down game. It's a divisional game. It's going to be a tight game. The only way that the Dolphins will come out with a victory is the defense finally gets back to the first 3 weeks of the year. get back to that defense that was out there, play fast, play physical, cause turnovers, set your offense up for success, and the Dolphins will likely come out with a win. I think, you know, when you look at the rosters up and down, Dolphins are getting a little healthier. They had 10 days off going into Sunday's game. I think they have home field advantage on this one. I think they'll come out with a win. But, you know, getting a win here, going 5-4 is cool. You're going to Green Bay the next week. And that game is a 4:25 kickoff, which means it's going to be one of the national games.
I don't know what the NFL is thinking with that.
Well, at the time, they felt that the Dolphins, you know,
That's true.
Had a couple extra wins because they changed it before before the Lions game.
True.
They changed that, and at that time, they're sitting at 4-2.
That was a kiss of death. That was a kiss of death.
That was a kiss of death because now the Dolphins are going to move to a primetime slot for the 4 o'clock games, and we'll see what happens in Green Bay, but if this defense doesn't shape up, Aaron Rodgers is going to eat them for lunch, and it's going to be an absolute blowout in Green Bay if they can't
get it. Well, this week's game is all about the run. If they can stop Isaiah Crowell, they're probably going to win. If they can't stop him, you're going to see Sam Darnold looking to look like Joe Montana probably, because then he'll be just play-action passing all day on us and having his will. Miami has to stop the run. They have to get back to stopping the run. First three games, they were pretty good against stopping the run. The last three or so, they've been terrible. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think they should win. They're at home. Sam Darnold, he does not have a lot of weapons. But if they let the Jets run the ball early and let Sam Darnold get a little comfortable back there, it could be a long day.
I agree.
All right, Tom, thanks so much. We'll look forward to hearing from you on Sunday morning with the pregame show and, of course, after the game with me with the postgame wrap-up show. Everyone sit tight, and I'll be back right after the break with a few last words.
The Landon and Jeff Show is a brand new Miami Dolphins podcast here on DolphinsTalk.com. Jeff is a 3-time Emmy Award-winning TV producer, and Landon is his 12-year-old son. Both are diehard Miami Dolphins fans who have their unique perspective on the team and the happenings taking place with the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to check out the Landon and Jeff Show exclusively right here at DolphinsTalk.com.
All right, we're back, and this was a little bit of a different show today, to say the least. We're not one to spend an entire podcast talking about a press conference in the middle of a week of a game week, no less. But this one kind of deserved it because it did draw so much attention. And just what Adam Gase said, which, again, like Tom and me, you know, we don't agree on everything 100% of the time. I would say we agree on most, but not everything. And we see things, you know, some things like the Tannehill situation slightly different, but for the most part, I think we agree just slightly different. But we respect each other, we listen to each other's opinions, and we don't make it personal. The social media on Thursday was kind of disgusting, I thought, just how some people just took it to a place it didn't have to go, and some people showed their immaturity, which is kind of sad, but they showed their age. Kind of sad how this generation of fans and how social media sometimes blend together and you get that ugly side, but whatever, it is what it is. I'm a big boy. Nothing really bothered me, but it's sad to see, and it was nice to see Armando Salguero late on Thursday put up a tweet saying, everybody calm down, everybody all get along, whether you agree with Adam Gase or whether you agree with me, you know, we don't have to make it personal, we don't have to attack each other, which was nice, because he's right, Armando's right. We're talking football at the end of the day, folks. This is the toy section of the department store. It's sports. It's football. It's not that serious. At the end of the day, it's not that serious. So I was glad to see that. And hopefully, over the next few days, cooler heads kind of calm down on Twitter, because some people really went overboard, I thought. And they should be embarrassed. But that's on them. If they're not, they're not. Whatever. We'll be back, like I said, with the pregame show Sunday morning, with a post-game wrap-up show Sunday night. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, and be sure to check out all of our work and videos up at DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone have a great Friday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.